Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Dr. Young, for the introduction. It's a privilege to be here to share with you this presentation about how nitrogen fertility and mowing height affect fungicide control of anthracnose. So anthracnose of annual bluegrass is caused by the fungus Colitopterum cereale, and although creeping bitgrass can be affected by this disease, annual bluegrass seems to be the most susceptible turf, presumably due to its weak perennial nature. So anthracnose became a key management issue for those who were managing annual bluegrass putting greens in the early 1990s, and it continues to be a problem today. And this increase in incidence and severity of this disease can be attributed in part to the adoption of rigorous stress-inducing management practices employed to satisfy golfers' expectations for increased green speeds. And we all know that reducing mowing heights and reducing nitrogen are practices commonly used to achieve these goals. So to look at the evolution of these practices over the last few years, it wasn't uncommon to apply 250 to 350 kilograms of nitrogen per year during the 1980s, but that number has sharply decreased in the last 30 years, and now it's common to apply nitrogen at rates as little as 50 to 150 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare annually. And similarly, mowing heights have decreased from as high as 6.5 millimeters in the mid-20th century down to as low as 2.5 millimeters or lower today. And ultimately, we know that these practices are reducing turf vigor and, as a result, increasing susceptibility to anthracnose. Now, this idea of have we gone too far with low nitrogen on greens is not necessarily new, as evidenced by this article in the Green Section Record from the 1980s, but decades later, we're still asking the same question. And really, the writing was on the wall for an emergence of a stress-related disease like anthracnose, as evidenced by this page from a trade journal in the early 2000s. The article at the top of the page says, "Technology permits lower, leaner, and faster greens." And coincidentally, at the bottom of the page, we see another article saying anthracnose proliferation continues. And so not only did Dr. Clark initiate some fungicide efficacy trials for anthracnose control in the early 2000s, he and Dr. Murphy initiated some trials to determine which management practices affect this disease. And this work became a part of a larger multi-state effort to formulate a set of best management practices, or BMPs, for control of this disease. And of course, I don't have time to discuss all of these BMPs this morning, but some important findings from this research showed that nitrogen fertility and mowing height are two of the most important factors influencing the development of this disease, with low nitrogen and low mowing increasing anthracnose. But questions remain about how these BMPs interact to affect disease control. We want to answer the question, is fungicide control of anthracnose more effective if cultural practices are optimized? So in 2012, we initiated this trial to evaluate the effects of mowing height, nitrogen fertility, and fungicide programming on anthracnose disease control of annual bluegrass turf. Treatments were arranged in a 2x2x6 factorial with 4 replications in a split plot design. The first factor was mowing height. We had a low level of mowing height, low mowing at 2.3 millimeters, and a high mowing level at 3.2 millimeters. Now, these treatments were applied 6 times per week using a Toro Flex 2100 walk-behind mower. The second factor was nitrogen fertility. Again, with a low and a high level, applying 100.1 or 200.2 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare per year. We'll talk more about these levels in the next slide. And the third factor was fungicide program, having 6 levels. The first level was an untreated control. Then we had 5 levels that applied a tank mix of the fungicides chlorothalonil and phosgene aluminum. Now, 4 of those levels applied that tank mix on a calendar-based schedule, applying those fungicides at 25, 50, 75, and 100% of the label rate. And then we had a 6th level, which was a threshold-based application schedule. And we'll look at that factor a little more closely in a subsequent slide. So to look at these low and high nitrogen levels a little more closely, in the spring, in mid-March, we applied 18.3 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare to both the low and high nitrogen programs. Then 2 weeks later, we applied that same rate to the high nitrogen program again, We had a similar application strategy during the fall. Now, from April to October, during this 26-week period, that's when we were doing our light and frequent nitrogen applications. We were applying 4.9 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare every 14 days to the low nitrogen program, and that same rate to the high nitrogen plots every 7 days. And let's look at the levels of the fungicide factor a little bit more closely. When I say 100% of the label rate, I mean 8.1 and 9.8 kilograms of active ingredient per hectare of the fungicides chlorothalonil and phosphatidylaluminum, respectively. And these calendar-based applications were applied on a 14-day interval. Those applications were initiated before disease symptoms developed in mid-May or mid-April, depending on the year. And those applications resulted in 10 total calendar-based applications per year. The threshold-based level also was initiated at the same time as the calendar-based applications, but the next application wasn't made until we reached a 5% disease severity threshold. And then subsequent applications were only made when disease severity increased, and the goal there was to keep those plots at an acceptable level of disease severity, which was about 5 to 10%. For the sake of time today, I'm only going to present the anthracnose disease severity data. Those evaluations were made using a line-intercept grid count method. This trial was performed on an annual bluegrass mono stand at our research farm in North Brunswick, New Jersey, on a Nixon sandy loam. Soil pH, phosphorus, and potassium were managed based on soil test results. We managed these greens to emulate a golf course putting green in the Northeast, so we applied plant growth regulators to control annual bluegrass seed heads and vegetative growth. We applied Trinexpec ethyl on a weekly basis at a rate of 0.05 kilograms of active ingredient per hectare. We also rolled these plots 3 times per week. We controlled any unwanted pests, such as annual bluegrass weevil or dollar spot, brown patch, summer patch. And then irrigation was applied primarily as hand watering to provide uniformly moderately dry conditions. So let's take a look at the results from this trial. I'll start by presenting the main effects, the disease response to mowing height, nitrogen fertility, and fungicide rate. And then we'll look at the interactive effects of these factors on the area under disease progress curve, or AUDPC, which is just a summary of the epidemic during that evaluation period. In this slide, we're looking at the disease severity response to mowing height during the 3 years of this trial. We have disease severity in the y-axis, and then we're looking at disease progress over time, which is on the x-axis. And what we see here is that high mowing, represented by the green line and the square markers, reduced disease severity on almost half of the rating dates during 2012 and 2013, but had no effect on disease severity during 2014, and that might be due to the mild nature of the anthracnose epidemic during that year. And what we didn't expect to see is that this factor accounted for only 1 to 5% of the disease response. Whereas high nitrogen, also indicated by the green line in these graphs, produced much greater reductions in disease severity, and this effect was significant on almost every rating date during all 3 years. And this factor accounted for up to 46% of the variation. When we look at the main effects of fungicide rate, as expected, increasing the fungicide rate decreased disease severity. And also, as expected, this fungicide control factor accounted for a large majority of the variation in this trial as far as the main effects are concerned. But what was surprising is that the nitrogen fertility factor, fungicide rate, and the interaction of these two factors accounted for 89% to 94% of the disease response, a very overwhelming majority of the variation in this trial. So let's take a look at this nitrogen fertility and fungicide rate interactive effects on AUDPC. For the sake of time, I'm just going to show this graph from 2012, but I'll tell you that this interaction was significant on every rating day during all 3 years, so a very important part of this data. We have AUDPC values on the y-axis, and we have percent fungicide rate on the x-axis. And I want you to imagine a line here at the 1,000 level of the AUDPC values, because that was the cutoff for acceptable disease control during 2012. So what this interaction is saying is under greater nitrogen fertility, this green line, Fungicide rate could be reduced down to 25% and still provide acceptable disease control. Whereas under high nitrogen, even at the highest fungicide rate, a similar level of disease control could not be achieved. And in 2013, we had a three-way interaction. It wasn't that complicated. What we saw was that under the higher fungicide rates, 50, 75, and 100%, nitrogen fertility was the only cultural management practice affecting disease severity, with these green lines representing high nitrogen reducing disease compared to low nitrogen, the red lines. But under the lower fungicide rates, 0 and 25%, that's when mowing height became important. And we saw that low mowing, indicated by the dotted lines, reduced fungicide efficacy at these lower fungicide rates. And interesting, we saw this really synergistic effect by combining high nitrogen and high mowing. And when we looked at the number of threshold applications made to these combinations of management factors, and compared those to the total number of calendar-based applications, again, which were 10 per year, we see that low nitrogen, when combined with low mowing or high mowing, applied 9 threshold-based applications during 2012 compared to the 10 applications, so resulting in a 10% reduction in fungicide inputs. When you combine high nitrogen with low mowing, we only applied 5 threshold applications, resulting in a 50% decrease in fungicide inputs. And when you combine these BMPs of high nitrogen and high mowing, we saw a remarkable only 2 fungicide applications were needed to provide acceptable disease control during 2012, 2013, and 2014, 2 applications per year, resulting in 80% reduction of fungicide inputs to control this disease. So I'll leave you with some conclusions. High nitrogen reduced disease more than high mowing. Nitrogen fertility, fungicide control, and the interaction of these factors accounted for most of the disease response. That interaction said that fungicides are more efficacious under greater nitrogen. Specifically, fungicide rate could be reduced by up to 75% and provide acceptable disease control under greater N. The three-way interaction said that low mowing may reduce fungicide efficacy under low fungicide rates. And lastly, threshold-based fungicide management is feasible when BMPs are used. And specifically, this combination of high mowing and high N resulted in an 80% reduction in fungicide inputs. So I'd like to thank all of our funding sources and open it up for some questions.
We have time for questions.
Yes, sir. What was the statistical procedure we used to describe the percent variation? What we did is we added up the total sums of squares. This is just determining the percent of the variation trial. So we divided the total sum of squares, or the sum of squares for each of these main effects or interactive effects, by the total sum of squares to determine a percentage of that total sum of squares that was described by each one of these main effects. Does that make sense? The question was, what are the nitrogen sources? For the spring and the fall applications, it was a mix of slow and quick release fertilizer sources of long-chain methylene urea for those slow-release nitrogen, and the light frequent applications during April to October was urea. Any other questions? Yes, in the back. Did we take any green speeds on this trial? No, but we had a sister study that was initiated at the same time examining similar management factors with similar levels. I presented a poster on that in yesterday's session, and we found that we were still able to maintain acceptable ball roll distances when using these BMPs of high mowing and high nitrogen.
Okay, that's all the time we have for questions. Thank you.
Thanks.